Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast presented by VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Coming up on the show, Mitch Moss, the Follow the Money, will join us. And we will go over mostly futures. We'll get his thoughts on futures, awards, big picture stuff from the NFL, maybe some college football. And if we got some time, we'll look at even college basketball. Just really focus on the big picture with futures and awards. Did a lot of college football on Wednesday. Mitch is great. Thinking outside the box, looking for long shots, and getting value in that way. So excited to talk to Mitch. Before we get to him, I'll just give my picks here for the weekend, college and the NFL. I got a couple props that jumped out to me, too, as I was digging through these. A couple of these jumped out to me. These start to pop up more and more towards the end of the week. A lot more becomes readily available. I do this column for Fox, where I have to do a bet on every game. That really makes you look at all these games through a different angle and look for value, have different ways of looking at it. But I'll start with college. A couple I talked about on Wednesday. I like LSU. There's still a 10 out there. I just think they'll play much better. Not much better, but nobody liked Kelly. They're still a talented team. Bama has not been ultra impressive in terms of yardage. South Carolina and Tennessee and Missouri, all these teams outgained them. Georgia outgained them by a yard and a half per play. So I'll take the LSU plus the 10. And it's mostly, you get a 3.5 at FanDuel here. I like Kentucky against Florida. Florida coming off a loss in a rivalry game. All of their dreams and hopes kind of out the window. I thought last week they'd put their best foot forward, and they did, but it wasn't enough. And now you're going to go on the road against a Kentucky team that has been pretty feisty here and played good defense. Just beat Auburn 10-3, played good defense against Texas. So I'll take the 3.5 with the home dog here. And I'll throw in one more SEC dog. I like Mississippi State. You're getting 9.5. Hold out. Maybe you get a 10 here. But if you look at Mississippi State, lost in overtime to Tennessee, lost in overtime to Texas, lost by a couple points to Florida. They could easily have a much better record than they have. I think they are better than the record. And I still don't think this is a vintage Georgia team. So I will add Mississippi State getting the 9.5. So Mississippi State plus 9.5, Kentucky plus 3.5, and LSU getting the 10 are the three plays in college. To the NFL, I'll start with the New York Jets getting 2 points. I think there's some 2.5s out there. It's mostly 2, so we'll call it 2. Should the Cleveland Browns be favored on the road against anyone? I know the Jets have been bad. I know the Jets traded players off. This is still Dylan Gabriel, a guy who he's from Hawaii. He's mentioned in the past he doesn't like playing in bad weather. It's going to be rainy in New York, in New Jersey, I should say, on Sunday. So you got a quarterback who really doesn't have a good arm, doesn't have the best arm, and can't throw in perfect conditions. Now you're going to put him in sloppy weather, conditions he doesn't like. Fields looked decent last time we saw him when they beat the Bengals 39-38. So I'm getting a couple points. Who knows? Maybe it's 17-16 or 21-20, something like that. Maybe those 2 points come in handy. I just don't know that the Browns should be laying points on the road to anyone. And if you look at their defense, they're a good defense, but they're really good at home. They've had some shaky performances on the road. I gave up 40-something to Baltimore. I know that was turnover-induced and the yards per play wasn't that bad. It was kind of misleading, but they have 30-something to Detroit. It's a stark difference, their home and road numbers, in terms of defensively here. So I like the Jets. I'll take the couple points and just, you know, going through the road results. They gave up 32 in New England. They gave up 23 in Pittsburgh. Okay. They gave up 34 in Detroit, and they gave up 41 in Baltimore. At home, they're giving up 6, and they gave up 10 to Green Bay. Minnesota was a neutral game. So it was really their defense, for whatever reason, is dominant at home. You can get them on the road. So I'll take the Jets getting a couple points. And I'll go Arizona plus 6.5. This is another situation where if you wait, maybe you get a 7. I think there were 7s early in the week. I just think Arizona's underrated. I follow them because I liked and bet Gannon coach of the year. So I've watched a lot of them. They have not been blown out. They've been in all of these games. They lost by 4 to Green Bay. Could have won. They lost by 4 to the Colts. They were stopped inside the 10. They dropped the pass against the 49ers in week 3. They could have been 3-0. They were a dropped pass away from being 3-0. The Titans' loss was ridiculous. They should. I mean, they're 3-5. They've got a plus 9-point differential here. They could just as easily be 5-3. Now, you can't give them all these coin flip wins. If you're playing a bunch of coin flips, some of them are going to go against you. But this is a better than a 3-5 team. And I'll throw in one more thing. Walter Nolan, the defensive end, the rookie first-rounder from Ole Miss, he made his debut against the Cowboys on Monday night. He was awesome. He was absolutely tremendous. He's a difference maker. Starting to get a little healthier with these defensive rookies. They drafted a bunch of them. the quarterback from Michigan. I mentioned Nolan. So you're selling Seattle high. Seattle looks the part. I mean, Darnold looks incredible. They look good on both sides of the ball. But usually you get a performance like that, especially in primetime, that's a good team to fade the next week. So I'm selling high on Seattle. And I think Arizona keeps this close. Brissett's played pretty well. So those are the two I like the most in the NFL. Gave you the three. In college, five dogs. So hopefully the dogs are barking here in terms of these spreads. A couple props that jumped out to me. McCaffrey, I think, has gone over his receiving prop every single game. 8 of his 9 games, he's gone over the 51.5, which is the line this week. So McCaffrey over 51.5 receiving yards, I think, is a good play here. And if you just look, 60s, 70s, 80s, 52-plus in 8 of the 9 games. The one game he went under was in the 40s. So McCaffrey, 52-plus in the receiving yards, it's starting to adjust a little bit. They're starting to tick it up a little bit. But I still think there's meat on the bone over 51.5. And Justin Herbert over 23.5 rushing yards. If you look at the last three games, and I picked the last three games because his offensive line is just getting beat up and losing guys left and right. And I think that's leading to him being pressured more and more and having to escape, having to run out of the pocket. He has run a lot more here these last few games. So, yeah, it's mostly 23.5. There is a 122.5, but I would say it's 23.5 across the board. And you just look at the rushing totals for Herbert. 31, 61, 57 rushing yards the last three games. So Herbert rushing over, McCaffrey receiving over, and the five dogs against the spread. I'll talk about it with Mitch, too. I did add one bet in college basketball, too. I bet UConn 15-1 to win it all in college basketball. I just think that they're going to be better than last year. They're going to rebound, I think, last year. A lot of things just kind of went wrong. They couldn't get their defense straightened out. They couldn't defend without fouling. I think Hurley has kind of refueled here. He's refocused. And remember, Florida won the national championship. They had Florida down and out, had him up six. UConn was up 6 or 7 points multiple occasions in that game. Just couldn't put him away. Florida pulls away, and then Florida goes on to win it all. I know Florida had a lot of those wins, but I think UConn bounces back, and they're a Final Four level team. And if you're going to give me a Final Four level team coached by Hurley with all this talent, I'm going to take that 15-1. So I think UConn 15-1 to win it all in college hoops is a good bet. They were not that impressive their opening night against New Haven, against UNH, who is new to D1. I know Hurley was frustrated after the game. Hurley's always frustrated after these games, but I think they'll be good. I think they're going to bounce back from last year. They got this freshman from Indiana who's going to make his debut. It sounds like he's like a month or so away, but doesn't need to rush. Whether they're a 1, 2, 3 seed doesn't really matter. We saw them a couple years ago. That first championship, they were a 4 seed, and they just blowtorched the competition, the first of their back-to-back titles. So I think UConn here is a good bet at 15-1. It was nice to have all those games on Monday, but then kind of trickled off in terms of Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. It was only night games. It's fun having those day games, and that was a fun feel to have basically a full college basketball card on a Monday. It felt like 150, 160 games. It was incredible how many games they were. But then Tuesday, Wednesday, and then Thursday went to more modest schedules. But we are at the time of the year we're pretty close at least to, you know, pretty soon the holiday tournaments, the Thanksgiving tournaments, Maui, and you get college basketball around the clock. So fun time of the year with all the football, college football, NFL, and now college basketball weaving its way in the mix. The one thing I would say I've noticed just from watching the first few days of college basketball, there are a ton of good freshmen. The kid for Arizona was impressive. Kansas, Peterson might be the first pick in the draft. BYU, that kid's going to be really good. Just up and down, there are a ton. Boozer for Duke is really good. There are a ton of really good freshmen. So it looks like if you have a high draft pick this year in the NBA, there's like 5 or 6 guys you'll have to choose from that look like really, really good players here in college that are all freshmen. So a lot of picks, a lot of futures to discuss with Mitch Moss. That is next. Before we get to him, just a reminder, rate, review, subscribe. I've seen a few more trickle in here. Those are much appreciated. Again, going to do another contest here in the next week or two. Just got to get around to it. But that is coming. So if you leave a review on Apple, if you leave a 5-star review on Apple, you will be in the mix here to be in the running. We'll do some sort of cash giveaway. So coming up next, Mitch Moss. We'll be back. All right, he is the co-host of Follow the Money and our new podcast, Pod to the Future, with our buddy JVT. It is Mitch Moss. Mitch, thanks for coming on, man. How are you?
What's up, Will? How are you?
Always good, man. It's that transition time. Baseball is gone. College basketball started. NBA starting to get into the forefront. So I wanted to touch base with you. Awards. You always have great perspective, unique perspective on all these different awards. So before we get to what you like this week in NFL and college, we'll start NFL. Anything NFL you think is worth adding from a futures award standpoint?
So I do think that the Defensive Rookie of the Year is kind of up in the air. And at the end of the season, I guess it could be something as simple as, well, Abdul Carter plays in New York, and he's got a bunch of pressures, and he might win it, and he's been the short shot the entire year. I thought I had a pretty good chance of cashing out the winner here with Schlesinger, the rookie linebacker for the Browns, until he got hurt, and I had a nice number on him before the season started. So now looking to adjust here on the fly. There is a massive number out there on a player who made his debut this past weekend on Monday Night Football. First-round pick, absolute stud for Arizona. Walter Nolan had an insane game, and his teammates are all talking about, this dude is phenomenal, and nobody could touch him. I bet 50, like on Monday night or Tuesday morning, and typically Tuesday morning of the week is when Westgate and Circa post their numbers. Westgate has 75-1. I added a nice little bet on him at 75-1. Now, I get it. We're talking about maybe only half the season, but who, in your opinion, like, who is there anybody running away with this award? I think not.
No, and Rookie of the Year is one where you don't need the full year. We've seen this in baseball before, where a guy comes up in June or July, and as long as you have a good June or July, it's not, you know, it's not MVP. You can afford to miss some games, so he's probably on the edge where he can't afford to miss any more games. But the talent is certainly there, and I watched him play the other day, and I thought about it. I didn't get around to actually like making the bet and checking for the number. But I mean, the talent is certainly there. I actually think that's an underrated team and underrated defense. And he looked incredible.
I think so too. I think so, with a defensive minded coach. And if you look at their whole schedule, we've been talking about this week. Paulie's brought it up on Follow the Money a couple of times. There is a reporter for the Cardinals who basically said he's never seen anything like it before. This is before the Cowboys game. Based on some variance in the fourth quarter, this team is very close to either being winless or undefeated, which is remarkable. Yeah, but that'll tell you, like, they're in all these games, all of them. And I thought he popped on TV in a big national, you know, Monday night game against the Cowboys where eyes are on that thing. I had to take some of that.
Where are you at with offensive rookie of the year? Do you think it's a two-horse race with Dart and Ibuka? I've got Dart 25-1, and I just, anytime I'm odds on in November, I just feel like, I don't know. It's not that it's a good position to be in. I just feel like, are they really going to give it to a quarterback of like a 4, maybe a 5-win team? Do you think there's anybody else that can win it? Where do you stand with the offensive side of things?
Well, this one is, I have too many guys at this point for offensive rookie of the year, but I'm with you. I got Dart 25. I have Egbuka from July at 50. That would be a fun one to pop because I don't have my lungs on it, but I have a nice healthy bet on Egbuka at 50-1. So if it's down to those two guys, I'll be pretty happy. Can McMillan get back into this thing for Carolina, or has it now been like too many games where it's like, ho hum? And Egbuka, with their schedule coming up, Patriots this weekend, obviously some other weak competition, and with all their injuries there at wide receiver, do we just think that he's going to finish as like Mayfield's number one guy and he'll put together an awesome season and be there right with Dart at the end?
Yeah, I'm sweating against Ibuka, and I think that he's probably going to win just because he had the hamstring. It looks like, all right, he might miss some time. This is really going to help Dart. He only missed that game or so. He had a quiet game. He actually didn't miss any games. He had a quiet week or so, but now he's got the bye. Now I feel like we'll see the player we saw pre-bye. And I know it's not a record award, and you can make excuses for Dart and the legitimate ones. He lost Scatabo, he lost Neighbors, and I think he's been really impressive. But at the end of the day, are you really going to give it to, like, I mean, look at their schedule. Are they going to get more than 4 wins and just a 4-13 quarterback? I'd have to go back and look at all the different quarterbacks to win it. Wins do matter to some extent. I just don't know if 4 is enough to get him the award.
Right. And also, like, I'm a little jaded at this point because I've had some big tickets or big numbers on some of these guys who have gotten hurt. And every time that we try to make a case for somebody else, like JBT was making the case for Junkins like 3 weeks ago, and it was trending in his direction, and then he gets hurt. I have huge numbers on Scatabu, and I thought maybe that's a guy who could pull it off at the end of the year. Goes down for the entire season. Hampton goes, I don't have anything on Hampton, but he was starting to really pop for the Chargers. Goes down. We brought up Travis Hunter last week. Okay, now his usage was starting to climb big time offensively, and he was turning into maybe the go-to guy there for Lawrence. And he was out there at 50-1 or higher. And like that's the kind of guy who could steal it in the final half of the season because of the hype, his name, where they took him in the draft, and on a potential playoff team that could get a ton of catches and yards, he goes down for 4 weeks. So I'm just in that specific market. I'm like, oh, boy, who else do I add at this point when I already have like six guys to win it? And I don't want to just burn more money, you know?
Yeah. Speaking of good numbers that I don't know if we'll get home, Jesse Welch is a friend of Eason, friend of the show. He tweeted me or texted me week one, that Monday, after all the games have been played. He goes, Jim Bob Cooter, the Colts assistant, offensive coordinator, is 150-1. I actually found him at 200-1. Last I saw these odds were a couple weeks ago. He was plus 250. I haven't seen him reposted. That's just one. I don't know if it gets home. I don't know if you guys see that market, but that's one, man. 200-1. You get him at 2-1. I was looking for a cash out. I don't know that it's available, but again, I'm not hopeful it gets home just because, I mean, I'm hopeful it gets home. I'm just not confident because Steichen, that's his side of the ball on offense.
Right.
And I wish there was some way to hedge that. I just don't know that there is.
That's a great point because then if you wanted to add more guys in that market, once it's posted again, like how many guys can actually pull off that award? You can probably make the case for a bunch of assistants. And so I think it was you who alerted Paulie and me, by the way, to this number. And so I couldn't find it in Las Vegas. I sent it out to a couple of friends. They grabbed 200-1, but they took like $35 on it. So I know some people who have huge bets on him at like 200-1. Other people who, you know, basically couldn't get anything down on the guy. But regardless, 200-1 would be a nice one. I don't think people would complain about that thing eventually cashing. And also, like how many guys on the same team can win awards? Because we've seen multiple players slash coaches win in the same year. But when it comes to the Colts, are we really talking about Steichen coach of the year, Jim Bob assistant, Jonathan Taylor offensive? Like that's, aren't they going to spread it out maybe a little bit more than that?
Probably. Again, at 200-1, sitting there with it's a nice bet. I'm happy I have it, but I'm not sure it's going to, I would like some way to hedge it or a cash out or something, but we'll see. You're just going to have to sit there and be sweating out the assistant coach of the year on awards night. It'll be a hell of a sweat if nothing else.
Let me ask you this. Because we don't have the cash out option at many spots here in Las Vegas, so I don't have a long history of even examining that, to be honest. If you requested the book to offer you a cash out, have you ever done that before? And I'm wondering, like, if that request comes in, do they say, yeah, sure, but they're actually going to make it even a cheaper and a worse cash out than they would normally offer?
I usually don't cash out. I've never requested a cash out, but I would imagine it's probably they make it so where you're better off just riding it out. It's probably offered pennies on the dollar.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I'll just say it's 50 to win. It's $50 to win 10K. I think that's all they would take. That was the max. I mean, if they offered me 2,500 or 3K, like what's the number where I would take? Obviously, if they offered split it in half, sure, give me the five grand right now. But I don't know. At some point, you just like anything less than that. Than you know, $2,500 or something. It's like, all right, I guess just ride it out because then you have the opportunity of like, all right, he wins, and then I left all this money on the table. So it really it becomes a tough one.
I get that. And, oh, by the way, it'd be nice to scoop $10,000.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. What before we move on to other things, who you like this weekend? Do you think there's anything worth a shot MVP? I haven't loved this market. You know, I never really bought the Baker Mayfield hype. I guess if I was going to take anyone like semi-long shot Darnold with the way he's playing with how Seattle's playing at 20-1, even though he did miss way better numbers, I don't want to bet Mahomes or Allen at short prices. Stafford, you probably missed the boat on that. I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on this market?
I'm going to let it play out for a little while longer. Very early October, I took a bet on Drake May at 95-1.
Ooh.
So he's in the mix right now, and maybe if this like hot streak continues and he puts up awesome numbers, maybe it comes down to on the odds board anyway, where it's like May and one other guy, and then I can start to hedge potentially on that other guy. But I'm with you. Darnold was what, 60 before the Washington game. I don't want to come in now at that number. Also, I've been staring at Matthew Stafford the entire year, and I have nothing on him. And now that he's like plus 450 or 5-1, I mean, if the season ended today, I think Stafford would have to win the award, in my opinion. His numbers are absolutely amazing. And 21-2 touchdown to INT ratio. You go back to last year, it's 36-3. But I don't want to, I can't come in right now. I mean, that's, I don't know. It's sitting there the whole time, 25-1, 18-1, back to 20-1 in that range. And I'm like, yeah, I should probably fire in Stafford now. Never did it. And now plus 450, I would hate myself to bet that number at this point.
Regarding the May one, doesn't Circa offer yes, no on this stuff? Will it get to that point? Even if you got to like minus 300, could you just buy a no on May?
I could, and that would absolutely be a possibility if that scenario unfolds where, let's say it comes down to really realistically speaking here, it's May, Stafford, Allen, and those are like the three dudes on the board who are probably going to win the award. I think at that point, they would offer a yes, no. And then that's okay. I got 95-1. I'd lay like $5 on the no.
Yeah, that's, I mean, there's a lot of numbers between where you're at now and 95. And that's,
sure.
That's a hell of a bet. Where, mm-hmm. What book at 95-1 on? Hard
that was Circa.
Wow.
Yeah. Damn,
and what week was this? That was week three, you said?
It was, I believe the date was October 2nd when I bet it. So right around what, week three, week four? A month ago, yeah. Yeah.
Jeez.
And I'll tell you, because it was our buddy Chris Macero who was in Las Vegas, and he had his notebook, and he's like, explain this to me. And he had all of the numbers written down, and May's numbers were, I think, in every single category better than Josh Allen's. And at the time, Josh Allen was, what, maybe 3-1 to win the award? He's like, how does this make sense on a team that might win, I don't know, 10, 11 games with the Patriots? Maybe they steal that division. His numbers are better than Josh Allen's. Why is he 95-1 and Allen sitting there at 3-1? I'm like, he had my attention. And so we shopped around, and Circa was sitting there at 95. I'm like, dude, I have to bet this. And so did he.
Yeah, it's a hell of a number. I feel like that market has gotten hurt in the past couple of years. It's just become so mainstream. I remember the year Lamar won it the first time, he was like 70-80-1. So was Mahomes. Rodgers won it like 30-1. I just feel like those numbers have gotten chopped. But man, you get a guy that's 95-1. That's live. That's a hell of a bet. Who do you like this weekend? We're recording this before Broncos Raiders on Thursday night, so this will air on Friday. But who are you looking at? Who do you like this weekend?
I know that according to the forecast, I was looking at Soldier Field this weekend. It looks like 70% of rain. But man, I really wanted to bet the over in that game. I did actually. I bet it over 46.5, laid 20 cents with it. The rain kind of concerns me a little bit, but that's another guy, by the way, Ben Johnson. If they win 10 games, can he steal Coach of the Year? He's doing a hell of a job. The difference between this team in 2025, Will, and last year is you watch this team overall. It's an entirely different organization the way it looks. And he had a ton of hype, and he was the short shot entering the year. But that defense also stinks. And I think Dart has the capability here of like almost matching the Bears. And the Bears will score in this game. I mean, they've gone over their team total, I think, every single week but one. And that was against the Ravens a couple of weeks back. So I would, I think we're going to get points in that game. I also like Tampa at home. Mentioned, you know, we're talking about Drake May. This number is below a field goal, and Tampa is off the bye. Patriots have not had the bye yet, so this is their 10th consecutive game. Below three with the Buccaneers. I think this is going to be, it's going to turn into a common narrative, if it hasn't already, that this is where Todd Bowles has shined in his career. Like first or second year quarterbacks, he has dominated them. I just think that he's going to make it very difficult for Drake May in this spot. And so below three at home, I got to take the Buccaneers.
You bringing up Vrabel and the Coach of the Year market, do you think there's anything? Is that who you'd bet right now is Johnson? I mean, I'm not looking at the short shots, Steichen and Vrabel. I mean, maybe they win, but I feel like it's just there's too much time left and those numbers are too short. Is that a market you have any interest in?
Yeah, I think I'm going to – Johnson's as high as 35-1. I mean, he was 6-1 before the season started. And again, they're 5-3. And let me tell you, I think Green Bay is the most overrated team in football. The Lions have some warts here. If the Bears somehow like finish, I don't know, second place in that division, again, win double-digit game, they have a tough schedule, very difficult schedule. But a person who, again, was 6-1 and their season win total was like 7.5, if he goes flying over that and he exceeds expectations, I don't know if voters will look at New England's schedule and say, yeah, their win total was 8.5. It was the easiest schedule in the league along with the 49ers. So, like, Ben Johnson clearly should be the guy. But just at that number now, halfway through the season, that's one that if I don't take it and he gets into the mix, I'm going to be pissed.
How about college football? Anything you like this weekend and any awards, futures, anything that you think is worth adding at the moment?
Well, I think that the two clear best teams in the sport are the two teams at the top, Ohio State and Indiana. The job Cignetti has done is amazing. But other than that, below them, I think Texas Tech is damn good, man. And 20-1 right now, that's another team. Going back before the season, they were 200-1. They're the real deal. They get BYU this week, an undefeated Cougars team, but plenty of people like Texas Tech in this game. It's a huge point spread. I just think that at 20, if for people who are looking to hedge, which, and that argument could be like, why would you make a bet if you're going to hedge? I understand that. But I think Texas Tech is going to have a path here where they can make a deep run in the playoff, and you're going to be live on a team that's sitting there at about 20-1.
Yeah, I could certainly see that. And boy, my team that I planted my flag on, and I can't stand the coach. I can't stand Cristobal. I actually thought they had the talent to overcome Cristobal and at least get to a semifinal national championship game before he hurts you. And at 22-1 and then 18-16-1, I thought those were good bets. Boy, I can't believe he did it again. He got me again. Not that I've bet him a ton, but I can't believe I let that happen. I just think with their schedule, with their talent, it's criminal that they won't make the playoffs. But
I agree.
That's what we're looking at.
Yep, I'm right there with you. His former team, by the way, I think I'm going to be betting Iowa this week at home. That is not going to be an easy spot for the Ducks to go to and cover and win by 7-plus points.
Yeah, I'm not sold on Moore. I'm not really sold on any of these quarterbacks, which is interesting because the Jets traded all of these players to get picks, which is, I think, is a good strategy. But if you're going to take a shot on one of these quarterbacks, the one quarterback I like, he's not eligible this year. I think Sand's going to be the best of all of these guys. He's so accurate. He's got such, I think, a high floor. But as far as like Mendoza, I'm not sure. Beck and, Ty Simpson, I don't know. Do you feel differently if you had a pick and you need a quarterback? Is there, like, who would you pick? Is there any guys you feel good about?
No, we're on the same exact page. As my one buddy out here in town texted me a couple of weeks ago, he said, can you imagine any of these guys in college football raising the Lombardi Trophy as a Super Bowl champion? I'm like, man, that you might be onto something there. Like, they're great college players, really good college players, and it's been a fun season to watch it unfold. But because I like chaos in the Heisman market as well, and we're certainly getting that this season. But at the NFL level, no way. If I'm the Jets, I absolutely pass on every quarterback next year, and I build up as much as possible, and I just keep. Maybe there's a better quarterback in 2027. Like you said, Sain might be that guy down the future, but I would not take any of these guys high next season.
Do you think the Heisman is as simple as Indiana versus Ohio State in the Big Ten title game and the winner of that, winner take all for the Heisman?
I think even in that scenario, Mendoza could still win it. Like if Indiana's competitive and they lose the game and he's awesome, I think he could still pull it off because his numbers at the end of the day are going to be so good, they'll probably be difficult to ignore. Other than that, it could be Reed from A&M. His numbers are outstanding, and if they beat Missouri this weekend and he's impressive again, that guy could be the dude that's raising that trophy at the end of the season. I would not be. I mean, where's his number at actually right now? Because he was 40-1 like 1 week into the season, I believe, and now he is what, third or fourth on the odds board.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And I asked this question to Tim Murray. I'm curious. I had him on the other day. I'm curious what you think. What do you think is the nightmare scenario for the committee that's, this is a headache. We don't have an easy answer. A couple years ago, it was Florida State was undefeated, but Bama was a one-loss SEC champ who just beat Georgia. And it's like, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. It's hard to leave either one of these teams out. And they obviously left out Florida State, and they used the injury as the excuse. Mm-hmm. Do you think there's a scenario that's lining up where, say, this could be tough if they have to be pick between this scenario and that scenario?
Well, I'll go back to your team that you brought up. How is Miami 18th and they have a win over Notre Dame and the Irish are 10th? Are you kidding me? And Miami's not a brand name in college football? How? They beat them. They have the outright win. Like, again, what's the criteria here? Does that not matter at all? And you're going to have Notre Dame who, at this point, if USC doesn't run the table, which they're not going to, they will not have a win over a ranked team at the end of the season. And they're going to be, they're 8 spots ahead of Miami? That's horrible, Will.
Yep, people are going to, I think their defense is going to see, well, the two losses for Notre Dame were Miami and A&M by a point where they could have had a bad call. Those are better than the two losses Miami had. But, head-to-head, it's they use it when they want to use it, and they ignore it when they want to ignore it.
Yep, well said.
Last couple, anything basketball you think is worth adding here? I think I heard you the other day, and I'm with you. UConn at 15, 16 to 1. I mean, it wasn't impressive the other night in their opener, but I think they've got a lot of talent. I would not be surprised if they're right back in a Final Four, and if you got me Hurley in a Final Four, I'm happy to have that number, obviously. So I like UConn, but I'll give you the floor here. College, NBA, anything futures awards you think is worth adding?
No, I think if you can, and I think that number, by the way, I bet him 16 to 1, UConn. Before Monday's game. And they were not ultra-impressive, like you said. They also have a key freshman who's going to be out for a little while to begin the season. And I think they actually went up to like 17-1 with that guy as the head coach. And the fact that, I mean, they had Florida dead and buried a couple of times last year in the second round of the tournament. And who knows what kind of run they were going to go on. And the job that he did in the offseason, the recruits that he has in, I think the team is absolutely phenomenal. The Big East, boy, when they play St. John's this year, you want to talk about, are you going to go to that game?
I'm going when they play Arizona the 18th or the 19th, but no, that's a great point.
Is that in stores?
Yes.
That's a hell of a game.
I know. No, but Patino versus Hurley, that is, I mean, that's a little old school college basketball. I don't know if there's animosity between those two, but they're both intense. They both got really good programs. I mean, those are going to be really, really fun games to watch.
Totally agree. And this is, if you go back about a week and a half, but this is almost like an annual bet that I make, and I've been burned several times, but I had to do it again with Kentucky after they manhandled Purdue, especially in the second half at Rupp Arena in an exhibition game. And Purdue, what were they, preseason 1, 2, whatever it is, the rankings don't really matter much, but they're loaded to the gills this year, and you know that they're going to be awesome. I was like, wow, I think, and the broadcasters were talking about this, and they said Mark Pope has the defense this year to really go on a huge run, which he did not have a season ago. And I love some of the guys that he brought in the offseason. They spent so much money putting this roster together. And a lot of people think they're the best team in the SEC or right behind Florida anyway. So, again, we're trying to find numbers on these really good teams. And I think UConn can be a one seed come tournament time. You know, maybe they're like 8-1. And come tournament time, maybe Kentucky's like a 2 seed and they're, you know, 10-1. And we'll have and by the way, I like making these bets. I know some people will say, I don't like to lock up that money for that long. That's fine. But this is also a way for me to have action like every time that these teams play. That's the way that I look at it, and now I have something to root for the entire season, and that's part of the reason why I love betting on futures.
And there is something to the fact that you gain information by having this ticket, by watching them. If you didn't have this ticket, you're not watching them as intently, and you do lose that information. I think that the same applies to like win totals in basketball or baseball or any of these sports where you're following it more, you're invested in that. You know, there's benefits to that, I think.
Yep, no doubt. Like if you brought up baseball, so for the diehard person who watches their baseball team play legitimately all 9 innings for 162 games, you're telling me that person wouldn't be a good bettor on that team live or whatever it is? They would know the intricacies. They would know the pinch hitting regimens. They would know which relievers they can trust, which relievers they could fade by watching it. I mean, you absolutely have that stuff down probably a month or two into the season where you just have the team memorized.
Yep, absolutely. How good was that World Series? Where do you put that? In the all-time rankings, that Game 7?
Well, Game 7 is as good as I've ever seen. I mean, 2001 will always have a soft spot in my heart, obviously, with what the country was going through, the fact that the Yankees were involved post 9/11, and the blown saves, Boon Young Kim in that series, the way it unfolded for somebody to actually get to Mariano Rivera, something that we had to see to believe, right? That's always going to be difficult to beat. Cubs coming back over the Indians was awesome. But, man, I actually think the combination of games, and I know Game 3, but the way it ended in Toronto, Game 6 and 7, 6 is going to get lost. But 6 was absolutely bananas, where after Yamamoto came out of the game, the Blue Jays had their chances or the bases loaded like seemingly every single inning, and then the ball gets stuck, and I had 1.5 in play. I had plus 1.5 runs. I'm like, I got a winner here. The ball got stuck for the first time in the history of that stadium, and how often does that happen in baseball anyway? And then to go into Game 7 and have it unfold like that, and Yamamoto come in for 3 innings, it's November 6th. I've thought about the World Series every day since, and I legitimately miss baseball like crazy because of how that thing ended.
You think Scoobles getting traded?
Oh, man. Reports are out there. Seattle will be one of the teams interested. Buster only said that yesterday. What would a team have to give up to get him?
Now, the fact that it's a one-year rental and he wants to get paid, that's going to take down some of the price. I mean, if you were looking at just in a vacuum, it's Scooble. I mean, you're looking like a Herschel Walker type of deal. But the fact that, again, it's 1 year, pitchers get hurt, he's already had some arm issues, that's going to take down the package a little bit. But a lot. It's still going to be a lot. It's going to be two like blue chip prospects, probably a major league ready pitcher or player. I mean, it's not going to be cheap. I wonder if the Mets would get involved. The Mets, you know, they like to make a big splash. They got the money to pay him if it's when it comes to it. You know, they got some of those young pitchers, whether it's Tong and McLean. That would get the bad taste out of how they finished out of their mouths. I wonder if the Mets would be involved with Scooble.
That team absolutely would make a lot of sense. By the way, your Yankees are going to be the team to beat in the American League. Maybe not in all of baseball because the Dodgers are going to be awesome again. But with that rotation, Cole's been pitching now for a little bit. They can go Fried, Cole, Schlittler, Rodon, Warren. Well, I mean, that's fantastic.
I know it's a small sample, but Fried has not been great in the playoffs, and Fried and Rodon got lit up by the Blue Jays. Absolutely torched. So, I mean, you can have all these guys you want. They got to pitch in the playoffs, and I don't know.
Well, Toronto's tricky. That offense is super tricky. They don't have an easy out in that entire lineup, you know?
It is. I wonder, what do you think their over-under will be next year, Toronto?
89.5?
Yeah. What were they? 78.5 last year, so he bumped up 11 wins.
Does it go that high?
I don't know if they do it again.
Yeah, it depends on – no, that's going to be difficult to repeat. I mean,
yes,
all those guys. I mean, Clement's batting 8th, and he was the best player in the playoffs, or one of the best players in the playoffs. That dude's batting – that was probably a managerial mistake. But guys like that, you're not getting anything by him. They don't strike out ever. So you put those balls in play, they're going to land eventually.
No doubt. Mitch, you're the best, man. Where can people find you?
New podcast with JVT is called Pod to the Futures. That's all we talk about, future bets. That's it. And all the sports that are pretty much going on that week are on the horizon. And then follow the money on VSiN every day at 4 o'clock Eastern.
Appreciate it, Mitch. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, rate, review, subscribe. Thanks to Mitch Moss. Thank you guys for listening. We'll be back Monday. See you then.